Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tripishta-porubhayaha-sanusingha-rupam. Kritva-brahmad-bhrukuti-damstakarala-vaktaram. Daityendram Ashu Gadaya Bipatantam Arad. Urao Nipatya Vidadara Nakaikspurantam. Tvaipishtu Porubhayaha Sanusingha Rupam. Kritva brahmad bhrukuti damstakarala vaktram. Daityendram ashu gadaya bipatantam arad. Urao nipatya vidadara nakaikspurantam. Tripishtapa,
the demigods,
Urubayaha,
one who vanquishes great fears,
Saha, he, the personality of Godhead, Nusimha Rupa. Assuming the incarnation Nusimha. Kritva.
Doing so.
Brahmat.
By rolling.
Brukuti.
Eyebrows.
Dhamstra.
Teeth.
Karala.
Greatly fearful.
Vaktaram,
mouth.
Daitya Indram,
the king of the demons.
Ashu,
immediately.
Gadaya,
with club in hand.
Abhipatantam,
while falling down.
Arat,
nearby.
Urao,
on the thighs.
Nipatya,
placing on.
Vidadara,
pierced.
Nakaish,
by the nails.
Spurantam,
while challenging. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The personality of Godhead assumed the incarnation of Nrisimha Deva in order to vanquish the great fears of the demigods. He killed the king of the demons, Hiranyakashipu, who challenged the Lord with a club in his hand. By placing the demon on his thighs and piercing him with his nails, rolling his eyebrows in anger, and showing his fearful teeth and mouth. Purport. The history of Hiranyakashipu and his great devotee son, Prahlad Maharaja, is narrated in the 7th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. Hiranyakashipu became very powerful by material achievements and thought himself to be immortal by the grace of Brahmaji. Brahmaji declined to award him the benediction of immortality because he himself is not an immortal being. But Hiranyakashipu derived Brahmaji's benediction in a roundabout way, almost equal to becoming an immortal being. Hiranyakashipu was sure that he would not be killed by any man or demigod or by any kind of known weapon, nor would he die in day or night. The Lord, however, assumed the incarnation of half man and half lion, which was beyond the imagination of a materialistic demon like Hiranyakashipu. And thus, keeping pace with the benediction of Brahmaji, the Lord killed him. He killed him on his lap, so that he was killed neither on the land, nor on the water, nor in the sky. The demon was pierced by Nrsimha's nails, which were beyond the human weapons imaginable by Hiranyakashipu. The literal meaning of Hiranyakashipu is one who was after gold and soft bedding, the ultimate aim of materialistic men. Such demoniac men, who have no relationship with God, gradually become puffed up by material acquisitions and begin to challenge the authority of the Supreme Lord and torture those who are devotees of the Lord. Prahlad Maharaj happened to be the son of Hiranyakashipu, and because the boy was a great devotee, his father tortured him to the best of his ability. In this extreme situation, the Lord assumed the incarnation of Nrsimhadev, and just to finish the enemy of the demigods, the Lord killed Hiranyakashipu in a manner beyond the demon's imagination. Materialistic plans of godless demons are always frustrated by the all-powerful Lord. Here's the image of Lord Nrsimha presented in this one verse. This chapter, spoken by Brahma to Narada, is part of his presentation, abbreviated presentation of the Bhagavatam for Narada's instruction, which occupies chapters 4 through 7 of the second canto. So this is the culmination of the short version of the Bhagavatam, is description of the pastime incarnations. But it's brief description. The verses are longer meter, so there's a little room to say a few things. But generally one or two verses for each incarnation. Lord Ramachandra gets 3 verses. Krishna gets 10 verses. Lord Nrsimhadev only gets 1, but it's a vivid description. In the case of most other appearances of the Lord, he has his birth. Maybe he takes birth to parents. Not all incarnations do. Lord Nrsimhadev doesn't seem to take birth from any parents. That's also mentioned by Jiva Goswami. But sometimes the Lord takes birth from his parents. He has his childhood activities. Usually he has his favorable devotees. The Lord doesn't come just to deal with demons. He comes first of all for his devotees. Usually the Lord must have at least one devotee, otherwise he won't appear. Lord Matsya appears to reciprocate with Shraddhadev Muni, Shraddhadev, son of Vivaswan. Son of Vivaswan? Yes. He's the upcoming Vibhrasvata Manu. So there's at least one devotee of Matsya Avatar. There is one prime devotee of Lord Nrsimha, Prahlad. And so the description of the appearance of Narasimha Avatar in the seventh canto is actually mostly a description of Prahlad and his devotion to the Lord. It's a surprise. We don't even hear that he was worshipping Lord Nrsimha, and some commentators say that he wasn't. He was worshipping Varahadev or some other idea, some other theory of who he was actually worshipping in his heart all along. But then, big surprise is that the Lord appears as half man, half lion to save Prahlad. Tripishta Poru Baraha. It wasn't just to save Prahlad, to save the whole universe. In particular, the administers, the management of the universe, the demigods, they were concerned for the safety of the universe or the proper order was totally disrupted by Hiranyakashipu, who basically usurped the management of the universe under his own control and reorganized everything his way, demoniac way. So, and Prahlad was not the only devotee persecuted. Many, many Brahmins and Vaishnavas, the sages, the demigods, they were all oppressed by Hiranyakashipu. Even the demigods were kicked out of their positions. Hiranyakashipu took their positions for himself and his friends. The sages were forced to enter his service and flatter him. And then the people on the earth were totally oppressed by him. So it was to save the whole population of the universe that Nrsimhadev appeared. But when they went to Lord Narayan to beg protection, he told them, be patient. This demon will have his way for some time, and that will I will allow that. But when he is too much of a threat to my most dear devotee, then I will come and destroy him. Don't worry, this will happen, I promise you. So Lord Narayan made his promise to the demigods, and in order to fulfill that promise, he's obliged to appear. Lord Brahma promised a few things to Hiranyakashipu, that he would not be killed in any ordinary way. So the annihilation of Hiranyakashipu had to be arranged in a very extraordinary way. Not being killed by any human or demigod, not being killed by any weapon, not being killed on the inside or the outside of the house, not being killed in the day or the night. And this all was accomplished by the appearance of Lord Nrsimhadev on the doorstep of the palace of Hiranyakashipu just at sunset. And then he killed Hiranyakashipu with his bare hands, not using any weapon. And he wasn't a man or a beast or a demigod, something in between. Dyutam Chalayatam Asmi, among the deceivers, I am the ability of cheating. Krishna is the biggest cheat. Hiranyakashipu wanted to destroy Vishnu and Vishnu's devotees because Vishnu had killed his brother. And being a big demon anyway, he was totally opposed to the principles of devotional service and of the Vedic system. He wanted everything to be redone his way, in the demoniac way, under his control. He wanted to become the supreme controller, the immortal Lord. And therefore he worshipped Brahma to get that benediction of supreme power and immortality. He tried to cheat the Supreme Lord or destroy the Supreme Lord. So the Supreme Lord cheated him and destroyed him. That is the general purpose of Lord Nrsingadev's appearance, but the special purpose is to reciprocate with his devotee. Paritranaya sadhu nam vinashaya cha dushkritam dharmasam stapanartaya sambhavami yuge yuge. I appear in every age in all my different avatars for these three principal purposes: to deliver my devotees, to save my devotees, to destroy the demons who are their enemies, and to, when necessary, reestablish the lost principles of spiritual life, to teach, when they need to be taught again, the principles of spiritual life according to the particular time and place. But these are not equal. First of all, the Dharma Samstapanam, reestablishment of spiritual religious principles, is usually done not by the Lord himself, but by his devotees. The preaching work, the teaching work, is usually done and deputized to qualified Vaishnavas who can do it for the Lord. The killing of demons is done by the Lord as his pleasure, in order to give special benediction to great demons, he kills them himself. That killing can also be done by his devotees. It is often. Shishupala was killed by Krishna's devotee, Bhima. And so on. Arjun killed so many demons. Bhima killed so many demons on Krishna's behalf. And in other pastimes, other devotees to help the Lord do the killing. And sometimes the Lord likes to do the killing of demons himself. But that's also not the primary, the first of first importance. Of first importance is what is mentioned first, Paritranaya Sadhunam, to deliver the devotees. I appear in every age to deliver my devotees. The devotees in Vaikuntha don't need to be delivered. They're already in the safe place. You need to be saved when you're in an unsafe situation. There are devotees living in the material world who are pure devotees, who are not materialistic devotees, even though they are qualified to leave the material world. The Lord keeps them here for special purposes, or they request to be kept here to help with the preaching work. Out of compassion. Even Prahlad says that. I won't go back to Godhead. That's Prahlad talking, right? I won't go back to Vaikuntha unless I can take all these fallen souls with me. So, Naivo Dvijay Paradurathya Vaitiranyas Twad Virya Gayana Mahamrita Magna Chitta Shoche tato vimukachita sa indriyarta. Maya? Maya sakaya baram udvahato vimudhan. My dear Lord Nasimha, when Lord Nasimha finally appears, has killed Hiranyakashipu, and this is his fearsome appearance. This is the image presented in this verse. The Lord only appears at the end of the story. After so many things have happened, then he appears, and he doesn't stay for very long. For an avatar, this is very short. I don't know, a few hours that Lord Nrsingha appeared, and then he went away. Because he's so fearsome, so dangerous, If he stayed longer than that, he'd probably destroy the whole universe. In the worship of the deities of Nrsimha, some of the forms of Nrsimha are particularly fearsome, dangerous, and some of them are more benign. The more fearsome ones, the worship is considered very dangerous. And one cannot have too much darshana of them or you could be destroyed. Or sometimes the makers of the deities will refuse to make the fearsome form of Nrsimhadeva. They're afraid of what will happen if he appears. Better he doesn't appear. Or he appears a little bit and in his more benign forms. So too much of the appearance of Lord Nrsimhadeva can be dangerous for the material world. There are relatively benign appearances. Lord Nrsimhadeva appeared to the Chankasi, scratched his chest, but didn't kill him. Just gave him a warning. So there are warning appearances, and there are appearances that actually mean business of Lord Nrsimhadeva. This is the appearance in his full fury as being described in this verse and other places. We'll read this evening, I think, his appearance in elaborate detail from the 9th chapter of the 7th canto. It's a short appearance. It's frightening and dangerous for the existence of the material universe. But Prahlad says, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of you, and I'm not afraid of your maya. What devotees are afraid of is not that the Lord will harm them. They know that the Lord makes distinctions. He harms the demons and he is very kind to his devotees. Any real devotee knows that and is therefore not afraid of being harmed by Lord Vishnu in any of his forms. The devotees of Rudra sometimes pray to him, please don't harm us. But devotees of Vishnu don't have to pray like that. Lord Vishnu never harms his devotees. Even the neophytes, he's very tolerant of them. Even the offensive Kanishta Bhaktas, the Lord doesn't harm them. They don't have to be afraid of him. And Prahlad, he's not afraid at all of Nrsimhadeva, even though all the demigods, including Brahma, are afraid to approach him to offer their prayers. Lord Brahma comes forward, offers a prayer or two, and he gets a big chastisement. Padmaja, don't make any big mistakes like this anymore. Don't go around giving your benedictions to demons. So that was embarrassing for Brahma. Nrsimhadeva didn't hit him, didn't rip him apart, but he chastised him quite severely. Prahlad wasn't afraid to get any chastisement or any violence done to him by Nrsimhadeva. No fear of the Lord. This is the same Lord who protected me from all the attempts to destroy me by my father. And not just he was thinking about destroying me, he exposed me to all the dangers possible, all the certain deaths, being thrown off of cliffs, being given poison. If you take a teaspoon of, you know, cyanide, you'll die. What's the chemical? Potassium cyanide. Prabhupada talks about how usually in chemistry, for identifying substances, one of the things that is noted by scientists, by the chemists, is what is the taste of the chemical? You know, you have this white stuff, you don't know what it is, so taste it. And then we can tell you, you know, that it's this or that. But nobody in any of the textbooks has marked what is the taste of potassium cyanide. Because anyone who tastes it, it will be dead in a few minutes. And he's out of, you know, within a few seconds, he's in no condition to describe the taste. Maybe it tastes nice. Maybe it tastes like strawberries. But nobody has ever reported that. And Prahlad was, maybe not cyanide, but he was fed very virulent poison. He was put under the the feet of elephants. He was pierced with all kinds of weapons. He was boiled in hot oil. This is certain death for anybody else. Prahlad trusted the protection completely of Lord Vishnu, and therefore Lord Vishnu gave an impossible degree of complete protection. That things that would kill anybody else didn't at all harm Prahlad, did not even frighten him. Prahlad's bold preaching to his father, a devotee who is not a Paramahamsa and who isn't especially empowered, has to be careful in his preaching, not to get himself killed. You can become too bold for your, in proportion to your own potency, and get yourself in trouble, or possibly get yourself killed. Prahlad said things to Hiranyakashipu that would have gotten anybody else killed for the insulting or sharp things that he told Hiranyakashipu. What was it? Tad sadu. What is it? Asuravarya dehinam. Tad sadu manye. Asuravarya dehinam. Next line. Sada samadrigna diyo asadgrahat. Hidvatma patam grihamandakupam. Vanam gato yad dharim ashrayeta. My dear best of the demons. Well, that in itself wouldn't insult Hiranyakashipu. Yes, I'm the best of the demons. I'm the best of the asuras. But then what he said after that, you demons who are always disturbed in your minds because you indulge in all kinds of nonsense, asadgrahat. The only good thing I can think for you is leave your home, take sannyas, go to the forest, and take shelter of Hari. Just the mention of the name Hari is enough to make Hiranyakashipu's blood boil. And to be told that he should give up everything that he's won by his conquest and go to the forest and worship his worst enemy. That was quite an insulting thing to be told by his son Prahlad. Don't try that with your father or some big man. Maybe your father, won't do anything to you. But don't go to, the president of some big corporation and talk to him like that. You'll get sued or maybe assassinated. You can't get away with the boldness of Prahlad unless you're also an equivalent Paramahamsa. But Prahlad had no fear. He trusted that Lord Vishnu would protect him. Not only did he passively tolerate the persecutions of Hiranyakashipu, he intentionally looked for trouble by preaching to his father. He intentionally went out of his way to have more danger thrown at him by Hiranyakashipu, because he fully trusted that Lord Nrsimhadev would protect him. And so, to reciprocate with his devotee is the main reason why Lord Nrsimhadev appeared. He had to fulfill the promise of Brahma. But, he could have arranged that Hiranyakashipu, while he was walking outside, the door slammed on his head. Some accident could have happened. He didn't have to personally appear to kill anybody. But he appeared to deliver Prahlad. And deliver doesn't mean save Prahlad from danger. He already saved Prahlad from danger, from every possible danger. It's already been done without his appearing. Without his appearing. So he didn't appear to protect Prahlad from violence. It wasn't necessary to do that. He already protected him so many times without appearing. Protected him from the pain of separation. That's all it can be understood as. He appeared to give his benediction, to put his hand on the head of Prahlad. First, some business to be taken care of. Rip apart a demon and kill all his soldiers and terrify the universe and spill blood all over the place. And then his primary purpose, after doing that business, to fulfill Brahma's Lord Narayan's promise, and Brahma's promise and the Kumara's promise, the various promises involved here, to fulfill all of them, he appears, and in a few minutes he fulfills all the promises, and then he proceeds to his real purpose, which is to put his hand on the head of Prahlad and give him his benedictions and give him all blessings. Because to reciprocate with the pure devotees is the primary purpose why the Supreme Lord appears in this world every time. Hare Krishna. Okay. Any questions or comments? Yes.
So Lord Narayana, he gave this promise that he will come immediately when this demon Hiranyakashipu will start to persecute Prahlada Maharaj.
But when the persecution got intolerable, not at the beginning of the persecution went on for some time.
Okay, so.
But when it became too much.
But what is the degree, Prahlad was going to be killed and in so many ways it was not so much?
Well, I guess this is the time that he picked up his sword to kill Prahlad with his own hands. And that was the line that he stepped over that was too much. Mm. That rather than having his Rakshasa servants do the work, he was ready to, with his own sword, to kill Prahlad. Anyway, it was for dramatic effect. It wouldn't have been fun to kill him much later, much earlier. Let him do all this nonsense, terrify everybody, let Prahlad be glorified by not being harmed, and then, when I'm ready, I'll kill him. There's a cat. What does a cat do with a mouse that it catches? Plays with it, throws it around, lets it go and catches it again, slaps him around, bites him, and then scares him to death, and then finally bites him and kills him. So like a cat, Nrisingadev played with Hiranyakashipu, let him get away with so many things, and then when enough was enough, then he killed him.
Can it be also that he wanted to manifest Prahlada's instructions to his classmen and so,
yes,
so on?
He wanted all these things to happen and be recorded in the seventh canto of the Bhagavatam. Prahlad's saintly character, his tolerance, his constant remembrance of the Lord, and his wonderful preaching that is meant not just for those boys, but for us. When you want to be a preacher, you want people to listen to you, it's not enough that you know a lot of things and you can quote so many shlokas. When you have the character of someone like Prahlad, when you're a really dedicated devotee and you put up with all sorts of difficulty, then your preaching is effective. People take you seriously. That this is someone who's actually dedicated. When he says that when you serve the Lord, you're protected, he means it. He's gone through all dangers and he's dependent on the Lord's protection. Therefore, when he says this, I take it seriously. That's a real preacher who has put up with all trouble, who has tolerated all trouble for the Lord, then his word is potent. Yes, sir. I'm sorry, you had a... Okay, you can... I'm sorry, you got the mic. And then after you, Bhagirath.
So does this mean that Lord will not protect us immediately when we are in trouble, but he will let us go through some hardship?
Not always. Not always. But very often he will... Because he wants to see how much dedicated we are. If every time a little difficulty happens, every time there's some problem in the world, in my life, there's not enough prasadam, the electricity goes out, the Lord's going to have an incarnation to find water for us and electricity. So if he that's silly. Then the devotees don't learn anything. They don't learn to tolerate if the Lord treats them like babies, you know, and takes care of them every little problem. So he lets the problems for devotees who are supposed to be mature and serious, the Lord lets the problems accumulate and lets the devotees learn something and gain some strength by their experience. It's by austerity that you become serious about your spiritual life, by tapas. If everything's easy, then you don't become serious. That's conditioned consciousness. We're in sleeping in the lap of the witch Maya. Kota Nidra, Jao Maya, Pisajira Kole. How long are you going to remain sleeping on the lap of the witch Maya? You think you're very comfortable. You're on a soft bed, Kashipu. But it's the lap of Maya. And unless someone sends some bed bugs to bite you, you know, or mosquitoes or something to cause you trouble, you're going to be very comfortable and you'll never get up. You'll never wake up. So we have to undergo tapasya. If you want to enter Rajadhamma, you have to first experience it as tapobhumi. Before you can enter the rasa dance or the other pleasure pastimes, you're going to have to experience the tapas. Every conditioned soul, if you're still conditioned in any way, if you still have material attachments, you're going to have to experience this to become fit to enter the pleasure pastimes. You have to become purified of all your contamination. And the best way, the quickest way for purification is the strong way, tapas. There are easy ways. There's, you know, mild, painless ways, but they'll take a lot longer. Just like if you have a wart on your hand, and I don't know the Ayurvedic treatment, but the Western treatment is to use acetone, which is used, you know, to melt things. It's very strong solvent, acetone, poison. If you dip your hand in a bucket of acetone, it'll melt your hand. But you put a drop or two every day on the wart, you know, and don't get it on the rest of your hand, then it dissolves the wart. You may say, well, I don't like acetone. It's dangerous and, you know, it could harm me. So you don't want to use it. So what are you going to do? Wash it with soap every day? Well, you can go on like that for 6 years and the wart won't go away. You want to get rid of it in 6 days, use the strong treatment. So like that, if you're eager to get purified and enter the Lord's pastimes, then accept the tapas. Accept the trouble. If you want an easy way, it'll take you forever. Accept all the trouble and be glad that the Lord is speeding things up. Okay? Is that okay? Bhagiratipu?
You explained that the Lord appeared to relieve the devotees from the feeling of separation from him. And then it said also in another place that feeling...
Well, I don't say devotees plural. This is special devotees. Devotees who are fully surrendered. Other devotees who are not fully surrendered, like the demigods, they get themselves in material trouble. And the Lord has to come and sort that out. He has to come and kill demons for them. So for perfectly pure devotees, it's just to give his association.
Yeah, but in another place it said that feeling of separation is the highest state. So why did the Lord, like Lord Krishna, he just left the gopis and that led them to feel separation? So then, and
why did he let them feel separation? I mean, to raise the level of their devotion. If you just enjoy with Krishna, then your devotion is not as pure and you don't experience the same ecstasy and realizations than if you get to enjoy with Krishna sometime and then the other times Krishna goes away. When there's separation, the devotion is increased. That is in our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, as taught by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as experienced by his devotees in the generations after him, by the experience of Vipralambabhava, devotional service reaches its highest peak. And those other schools that are only interested in the enjoyment, the sambhoga, they don't get to experience that higher degree of devotion. Does that address the question? That answers it? Or did I not understand the question?
Why should then the Lord appear if the feeling of separation is higher than the
sometimes he doesn't appear. Sometimes he doesn't appear. Sometimes he doesn't come. But sometimes he comes because enough separation is enough, and there's a cycle of both sambhoga and vipralamba. It's not that there should be only one. And sometimes, so for some devotees, there's a fluctuation between the two. But some devotees in this world, they will never see Krishna in this lifetime. They'll see Krishna maybe in the next lifetime. And that's Krishna's arrangement. He wants to purify them and elevate their eagerness to such a high degree that he never shows himself in this life. Come to Vrindavan, stay here 50 years, become fully purified, and still Krishna may not show himself. He deals with each devotee individually, what's best for that devotee. He doesn't give the same medicine to everybody. He deals with the individual situation of each. Okay, yeah. Okay. Sarvika?
Still a bit technical question about the form of Lord Nrisimhadeva. Is it like eternal form which eternally exists in Vaikuntha planet, or it was manifested according to some special lila, special circumstance? I don't remember.
I don't remember. I don't want to guess about it. Is the form of Nrisimhadeva eternal? Is there a Vaikuntha loka? Well, I think so. One thing that points to that seems to indicate that is that he appears repeatedly. There are Rupa Goswami and Lagu Bhagavatamrita mentions five different forms of Nrisinga. One of them is an ordinary cat, domesticated cat. Yeah. So he appears at least in five different ways. So he appears repeatedly. It's not just a one-time thing. But whether he has an eternal Vaikuntha planet where he's always there in that form, I don't remember. Nrisinga? It's called Nrisimha. Okay, at least the name is there. Yes.
Like on Matsya Loka, does Lord have a big tank and he swims there and devotees offer worship?
Is Matsya Avatar actually appear as a fish and act like a fish in Vaikuntha? Does he appear like half man, half lion, or a lion? In Vaikuntha, I can't say. It makes sense that he would, or maybe he wouldn't. I don't know.
I've heard from Bhaktivedya Purna Maharaj.
Yes.
He said that Lord in Vaikuntha is in his Vishnu form, and the only way you can distinguish what is his actual name from the others is according to the positions of these four things in his hand.
Really? So he does not display the pastimes? That means then that the pastimes of Matsya, the pastimes of Nrisimha, and other incarnations are not exhibited in the spiritual world. Because if you're going to do the pastimes of a fish, you'll have to act like a fish. So he doesn't do those things? He just does Narayan things? I don't know. I don't want to speculate about it. Yes.
Must mean that he must assume some special form which wasn't exist in the spiritual world, because he, for example, if in the spiritual world he is like a big fish, Vishnu. So, is it so?
Are we saying that he doesn't? He can't.
He can't
be a fish if he wants to invite Kunta. I don't know. I'm presenting questions. I don't have the answers.
Say it again. So, Prahlad Maharaj was
very... No, start again? Yeah.
very satisfied with Narasimhadev and
Prahlad was satisfied with Narasimhadev.
Yeah, so he was happy at that time. But why he expresses his lamentations to Narada Muni when in Brihad Bhagavatamrita we see that when Narada Muni goes to him, he's feeling like dissatisfied and he longs for something more. So
Prahlad, what exactly was he dissatisfied about? Do you remember? One thing he doesn't like is Narada flattering him and glorifying him. He doesn't like to hear the glorification. That's what got him upset. And then after getting upset, hearing being himself being glorified, he may have said so many things. But it was just like, you know, someone irritates you by, you know, breaking your MP3 player. You know, he bars it and breaks it. And then you say so many nasty things. I don't say you do this, but then you say so many things about him. You don't really mean them. You know, but he got so angry at him that he broke your machine that you say so many things. So the purpose of the disturbance may be something else, and then he still says this and that.
So he directs Narada.
But the purpose of what really made Prahlad mad at disturbed with Narada is that Narada came and told him, "You're the best devotee." What do you mean, "I'm the best devotee"?
So he directed Narada Muni to Pandavas, is it?
Yes.
So?
I think Prahlad didn't get up. The devotees before Prahlad got angry. Prahlad was a little tolerant, I think. Yes, he told him to go to the Pandavas, yeah. No, he told him to go to Hanuman. He got a little mixed up. Prahlad told Narada, because the reasoning he gave, which may have just been an excuse to get rid of Narada, you know, maybe he didn't really mean it. You know, maybe he just came up with this idea to convince Narada, you know, stop flattering me. Why don't you go over there? He said that, you know, Narasimhadev didn't give me much association, a few minutes. I was thinking about him, that's all. I used to remember him all the time, but he only actually came to me for a very short time. What kind of best devotee is that, who only gets a few minutes association with the Lord? Look at Hanuman. He stayed with Lord Ramachandra for 30,000 years. So he must be a much better devotee than me because he got constant association for so long and did so many kinds of personal service. I didn't get a chance to hold the umbrella over Lord Narasimhadev or to hold his shoes or do so many personal services. I didn't get any time to do that, Prahlad would say.
If Prahlad Maharaj is in Shantarasa, then he is satisfied with his appreciation and glorification of the Lord. So does
if he's in Chantarasa, where does it say he's in Chantarasa?
It says
okay. Okay.
Okay.
All right. And Hanuman is in Dasya Rasa.
So is it like every devotee will long for the, will aspire for the next higher level, something? Is that like?
Generally, although they're just being humble by saying I'm not the best devotee, but they are sending Narada to someone who actually is a better devotee, and being a better devotee is first of all based on the level of your rasa, and then within the rasa, how dedicated you are compared to other devotees in the same rasa. But first calculation is which rasa are you in. If you're in a higher rasa, then you're a higher devotee. But you know what Krishna told Narada at the end? Narada, don't you understand? They're all my best devotees. I'm fully satisfied with every one of them.
Okay.
Hi, Guru.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord says that who will always remember me, so I will protect him.
Yes.
Yogakshema Bahamiham.
Yes.
So, Prahlad Maharaj is Ananya Bhakta.
Yes.
So, in his case, the what Lord did for him, Yogakshema?
Well, what did Prahlad need? Prahlad didn't have any material needs. He could go without eating, he could go out without shelter. He didn't care for these things. What he needed was remembrance of the Lord. That was his bread and butter, was remembering Vishnu. He didn't care about anything material. So what is the Lord going to bring him? So the Lord is going to give him a good opportunity to remember him by coming in person, killing his father, and talking to him, at least for a short time. That's something to remember. So what Prahlad needs is chance to remember, help in remembering the Lord. So the Lord gave him that help by appearing. He gave him what he needed, and he's always been protecting everything for Prahlad. He protected Prahlad's skin from all the spears and all the boiling oil. So he's already been protecting him. But now he's giving him the yoga, something in addition. His personal darshan. What else can he give? What can he send? $1 billion? A check for $1 billion? Or a box of Sohan Papadi? What can he send to Prahlad? All he can do is come himself. That's the only thing he can give. But that will give Prahlad what he needs. Something that will help him remember the Lord constantly. I mean, if you were there when Nrisimhadeva appeared, you probably would never forget it. You know, such a shocking and dramatic event, it won't easily be forgotten. You know, the most dramatic event of my life, I'm going to remember. So Prahlad, when this event happened, and Nrisimhadeva appeared and ripped apart Hiranyakashipu and killed so many demons and was glorified by all the demigods, that was something to remember.
But those who are not elevated devotee, like Prahlad Maharaj, or generally their sadhakas, so Lord, will you also carry out this yoga kema bahana? Or Lord, will you protect him and well, will you also supply?
How does the verse begin?
Ananyas chintayantomam.
Well, this verse is a promise for those who always remember him without deviation, who have no other interest. If we have some other interest, we like the Lord, but we also like, you know, successful life in the material world, then we're not ananyas chintayantomam. We're not on that level, so we don't qualify for yogakshemam, actually. If we're mixed devotees, if we have mixed material motives, then we don't deserve full yogakshema. You want to buy your insurance policy from the insurance company of India, yogakshema vahamyaham is also their motto. You want that kshema, you got to pay the premium. You know, if you may make a deal with the insurance salesman and he gives you a piece of paper, you sign a contract, but then you don't pay, then you can't say, oh, you know, now I want my benefits. But you didn't pay the premium. So unless you're going to pay by being ananyas chintayanti, you can't demand the yogakshema. Maybe Krishna will give it anyway. He's very kind. He sometimes gives things to people who don't deserve it, but you can't demand it and expect it. Okay? Yeah. All right. Okay, we'll stop now. Oh, I'm sorry.
About Brahmadev's position, I want to ask. But when Narasimhadev chastises him, saying that, like, because Brahmadev giving the benediction, isn't that also a way, when he says that, when the demon asks, I don't want death in any conceivable way.
Yes.
So when Brahma says, okay, granted, even knowing that I can't make him immortal, so isn't it a kind of confidence that my Lord is able to kill him whatever conditions he puts?
Yes, so therefore Brahma didn't really commit a crime or an aparad. It's a friendly, joking correction. When the Lord told him, Brahma, don't go around giving more benedictions like this to demons. He didn't punish him. He didn't, you know, give him any real punishment. He just said those words. And they were sort of, you know, funny words. So it wasn't a very serious punishment. And you know, Brahma did it again anyway, many times. Gave Vrikasur was a Shiva. But Lord Brahma didn't stop giving benedictions to demons even after that.
How does it work? No, it works that, is there some strong principle that if a person does this much austerities, then he has to be given these benedictions?
Well, especially if his austerities are so strong that it's threatening the universe, then the demigod who's being worshipped has to do something about it. If the demon is a little demon who doesn't have any influence over anybody, then maybe the demigod can ignore him. But when he's really influential and dangerous, then the demigod has to protect everybody else by giving something. Also, there's maybe reputation there. You know, if I ignore my devotees, then they're all going to think that I just ignore them. So to maintain his reputation, he also has to appear and do what he's supposed to do. Yes?
Hiranyakashipu asked to be killed and not to be killed by any creatures that was created by Brahma.
Yes.
So like man or human beings. There's also this type of race, the Kinnaras.
The Kinnaras are not? Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Haribo. Thank you for coming. Come anytime. Kinnaras were not created by Brahma?
No, they were, but they're like, I was reading, they're half man, half animal.
Okay, but they were created by Brahma, so therefore we can't have Hiranyakashipu killed by a Kinnara.
Okay, that's good.
Buffaloes was created by Vishwamrita. He wanted to also make a species, something like another kind of cow, but he forgot to give it sweat glands. So it's got poison in its blood and its milk. Buffalo, ugly imitation of a cow. It was created by Vishwamrita. So that's one creature that's not created by Brahma. Buffalo. Vishwamrita Muni. So maybe Hiranyakashipu could have been run over by a buffalo. Yeah. But there were other things too. No, by no animal, by no man. So the buffalo's an animal. Yes. So the devotees asked, Prabhupada explained that. That because he doesn't sweat, the poison stays in his body and it gets into the milk. There's acid, which is poisonous, in buffalo milk. So the devotee said, okay, Prabhupada, they're selling here, what we have available here is buffalo milk in Mayapur. Can the devotees drink buffalo milk? And Prabhupada's answer was, yes, if you want your brain to rot. And he told the story of, no, I won't tell it now. Anyway, you probably heard it. There was a horse farm in India, and they were trying to raise successful racehorses like they did in England. They tried to do everything exactly as it was done in English farms of racehorses. They wanted, you know, in Bangalore there's a racetrack. Other places there's racetracks in India. So they wanted to raise indigenous, you know, native horses that could win the races. And they were doing everything they thought exactly like they do in England, but the horses weren't winning. The horses weren't good enough. They brought an expert from England to investigate, to look at their farm and see what might be wrong. And they showed him everything. Everything seemed to be paka. They were doing everything right. And before the inspector was about to leave, he was confused. I don't know. I don't see anything wrong. Then he looked out in the field just before he was about to leave and said, what's that ugly animal over there in the field? They said, oh, that's buffalo. We feed the milk to the horses, the buffalo milk. And that was the answer why the horses were losing. You can take the yogurt made from buffaloes. When the yogurt is made, the acid is removed, or that poisonous acid is removed. The yogurt is safe, but the milk is not so safe. It's also not, you know, Krishna keeps some buffaloes, but buffalo milk is not his favorite either. Yes, sir.
Oh, how about the milk from the other animals, like the goats or whatever?
Krishna sheep. Also keeps a few goats. But you don't read about offering, you know, goat milk to Krishna. I don't know what they do with the goats. I don't know what they use them for. Does Krishna drink goat milk? I don't know. Camel milk? Pig milk? I don't know.
Soya milk, rice milk.
Yeah, but you don't, you know, It's not for Krishna's pleasure. Krishna doesn't like, I don't think he likes soy milk. It's not interesting to him. Yeah, he'll tolerate it, he'll accept it. But it's not his favorite. If you offer with love soy milk, he'll probably accept it. He'll accept the love. But he'll wonder, why can't you give me some nice cow's milk?
Hridananda Maharaj said that Srila Prabhupada personally told him that soya beans and lentils are not offerable.
Not offerable.
So I guess.
Yeah, they're tamasic. Yeah. They have no taste. They're okay for starving people. You know, he said about oats also. He said the old English saying that oats are only good for horses and Irishmen. So if you're, you know, if you're starving, you have a starving population, you can feed them with soybeans and oats. Yes, sir.
Other point of view, I remember memories about Prabhupada, and one devotee tells the story how in the very beginning, maybe 67, devotees came to know that the milk that they buy in the shops in America, the fish
cod liver oil. Cod liver for the vitamin. Vitamin D?
No, but it was, they particularly found that it's not as a vitamin, but anyway, just to enrich the milk, it was fish
oil.
Fat added.
Yes.
So, and Prabhupada approved, he said, the milk is so important, so that's okay.
He also said it's Kali Yuga. What I heard, he said it was Kali Yuga, what can you do? Everything is contaminated in Kali Yuga. And nowadays, they put these special hormones. In America and many other countries, they inject the cows with dangerous hormones to make them produce more milk. And it's known, it's scientifically proven, that it causes cancer in human beings and all sorts of problems in human beings and in the cows. It makes the cows sick and it makes the people who drink the milk sick. And all the milk sold in the United States, almost all the milk, has these poisons in it. Be careful. If you go to these countries, be careful of the milk you drink. There are a few companies, yeah, that advertise that we have, you know, non-poisoned milk. Yeah, and expensive.
So it may be difficult to comprehend. And at one point, don't drink the buffalo milk.
Yes.
And just drink that milk, which is with those whatever.
I don't think in the United States you can generally get buffalo milk. They don't have buffaloes.
No, but
United States.
I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, but in India, I mean, just don't drink this milk, but in America you drink that.
Well, usually in India you can get cow milk. The problem is, how can you trust that it really is cow milk? Or what else has been put in it? The only real safe thing is to have your own cow. And that's strongly recommended. You want to have a sound economic life, keep some cows. Then so many needs are taken care of if you maintain cows. You're going to be a grihastha, keep some cows. I've seen even Benares in the crowded apartments. You know, near the Dashashramita Ghat, some gentleman invited me to his house for breakfast. And he was keeping a cow under the staircase in the apartment. You know, so he's following the principle. You're grihastha, you should keep cows. Okay. Otherwise, what are you going to get on the market? You don't, you know, they always water it, and who knows, they put chalk in it or something to cheat you. It's their business. Even in Mayapur, they cheat, the hired people cheat Radha Madhava. The deities get adulterated milk or watered milk. Yeah, sort of gundas, anyway, they can't get rid of them because it's like a mafia, and they're actually cheating the deities. Yes, sir.
Safe. There's even in cow's milk, it said that the milk of a cow whose calf is dead will make a person into a fool.
Yes.
Like there's Purandara Dasa, he has written a kirtan in that it starts like this, that a person who cuts the branch on which he stands in a tree is a big fool. A person who scolds his own parents as a big fool. So he mentions a list of all things which are foolish. And finally he says, but a person who doesn't surrender to Krishna is a really big fool, bigger than this.
Yes.
And in the list he says, amongst different fools, he says, a person who drinks the milk of a cow whose calf is dead is a big fool.
Yes. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Anything else? Okay, thank you. All glories to Sri Nrsimhadev and Prahlad Maharaj. Hare Krishna.